Fed Talks is a weekly podcast featuring federal program staff from the Georgia Department of Education and Georgia's public schools.
For many individuals, the purpose of federally funded programs is unknown.
Through its Fed Talks series, the Georgia Department of Education is sharing more information on the ways Georgians are leveraging federal funds to serve Georgia students and Georgia schools.
This is John White.
And this is Craig Gears.
And this is Fed Talks with John and Craig. I'm John White, and with me is Craig Gears.
Hello, everybody.
And we have Miss Amy Song with us. And last time, we talked about just the beginnings of ESSA and the connection to parents. And Amy, you were sharing some basic background information on why ESSA includes parent-family engagement. You made a good distinction between engagement and involvement. So do you mind doing a quick recap just to kind of explain again why it's in the law and how it's important to schools and parents to coordinate together?
Thanks, John and Craig, for having me again. And we just wanted to emphasize that in the law, there has been a shift in terminology. So back in 2001, when No Child Left Behind was passed, the language was called parental involvement. But now, under Every Student Succeeds Act, when the law was reauthorized in 2015, the term shifted over from parental involvement to parent and family engagement. And the idea is to place a stronger emphasis on engagement, because when you're engaged to someone, there's more of a commitment for a long-term relationship versus just being involved with someone. You're kind of casually saying hi to them, meeting up with them. So the intention behind that is Congress noticed that there are different parents in different life situations, and sometimes you'll see parents who come to school and maybe they'll come to an event and then you won't see them for the rest of the year and the teacher won't hear from them at all. And then you'll also have parents who are very engaged, who are always volunteering, who have the time to come to all the events at school, who are constantly emailing with the teacher. And the idea is to engage families where they are, because some families, maybe they're working two jobs. Some parents have crisis going on in their personal lives and they're not able to visit a school building physically. But the idea is to meet parents where they are and to try to build those relationships so that there's more of an engaged commitment and building a relationship with parents of all different backgrounds and situations.
So over the years, parents have been bringing their kids to schools years and years and years, and they've always tried to be involved at some different level. But with ESSA coming on with this new focus on engagement, obviously someone along the way has identified that engagement works and engagement is what is needed to happen. So when parents are working with you or working with schools, how are they, what are they doing different? What looks different now than it did 20 years ago, I guess? So, because they were always involved, they're always coming to school, but ESSA is trying to push a new focus on that, right?
Right, and especially in Georgia, we're trying to encourage school systems to not just think of parents as that volunteer that comes into a classroom to make photocopies.
Very familiar with that, yes.
That was kind of the culture back then, but then in the last several years, our state has been encouraging parents to become more of a leader and who, you know, even if they're not in the school building all the time, that they still can invite other parents to emphasize the importance that, hey, you know, as parents, we need to know what our child is learning in the classroom, what tests they're taking and they're required to take, what are the standards that the teachers are using to teach our kids. And so you'll see the idea of a parent being engaged, not just making photocopies, but which is important to teachers and very helpful, but the idea is to make their role more prominent and more of an engaged parent in the academic success of the child.
So and that looks different.
It's a partnership. Is
right,
really
absolutely.
What it is.
It's a partnership and looks very different based on the explanation you gave before about people being in different stages in their lives.
Yes.
That looks very different, but in not one is better than the other, and their people and families are engaged to the best of their ability.
Yes. And you'll also see that because of technology and how parents are using smartphones now these days, and schools are offering online systems of communication with parents, the parent doesn't have to always physically be in the school building. They can be engaged by communicating with their child's teacher through using online parent portals, which allows emails back and forth or text messages back and forth. Because a lot of parents, even if they don't have smartphones, they use text messaging.
Right.
So there's different ways parents can be engaged.
All right, let's circle back to a topic we touched on during the first episode, and it was the notion that if it's a Title I school, they have to have a parent engagement policy. So, and I think that speaks to this partnership we've been talking about, right?
Yes.
So what do the policies have to say, and how do they build on this concept of partnership?
Right, so the school level parent and family engagement policy is required under law, and that's really because Congress was trying to emphasize that each school is unique, and depending on whether it's elementary school, middle school, or high school, there are different ways to engage parents. And the policy is really a plan for the school for the upcoming school year on what strategies they're going to use to invite parents to be engaged in their child's academic success. So normally in Georgia, you'll see in the school level parent family engagement policy a statement about how they will jointly develop the policy together, because parents know how their child is doing and how they're enjoying school or learning in the classroom. And so parents should have a voice at the table when they're developing these policies, and as well as teachers, because teachers know how students are doing in their class. And so the school level parent family engagement policy goes into how to jointly develop the policy. It talks about what is offered to parents to build their capacity to help their child in outside of the classroom and in their homes. So the policy might list some activities. For example, some schools offer literacy night where they help parents learn reading strategies so that they can use it at home when they're helping their child practice reading at home, or if they want to read to their child at home. What are some ways you can look at picture books and point out pictures or ask questions? And so a lot of times the policy will talk about providing sessions for parents. And they're not always in person. They could, some schools offer online sessions to parents because they know how busy parents are.
Now, is it safe to say most Title I schools have to develop a plan?
Yes.
And it's usually based on, they go through a needs assessment to figure out where their kids have gaps, and they develop strategies for the teachers primarily to focus on those gaps. So they set goals. But is it a logical connection that the parent involvement policy, if they're offering literacy night, any of the activities in that policy would probably link back to whatever the school had defined as the area of need? So everybody's working on the goal together?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, so that's a great point you're bringing up, because every year the school system district-wide should do a needs assessment to see where their students are doing. So they look a lot at student performance scores with tests, but not only that, but they also look at different needs, whether it's absences in school or if there were some behavioral issues, mm-hmm. or other issues that might be affecting the child in the classroom. And so after they do the needs assessment and they identify the skills that a child or the students need, then they usually draft up their district level parent and family engagement policy and say, okay, all of our kids in the district are struggling with math, so let's focus on math for this year. Or it could be math and English language arts. And then from that district level policy, the school level parent family engagement policy should piggyback that and align themselves and say, okay, the district identified math as an overall skill that needs to be focused on. And so then the school level policy will identify math. And so then the idea is to customize that school policy and say, okay, if we're in elementary school level, then how can we help our students in elementary school with their math skills? And so there should be this alignment that goes from the needs assessment to the district level policy to the school level policy. And then there's something called the school parent compact, which is another requirement under ESSA. And this is actually a really good format to bring teachers, parents, and the student to the table, because the school parent compact is considered, quote unquote, like a contract or an agreement or a promise between all three to say, okay, if math is a problem or an issue or a skill level that all students in the school needs to work on, then I as a parent will help my child at home with using flashcards or using multiplication tables at home to help my child with math. And then for the teacher, the school parent compact is an agreement saying, I will help the parent know what type of math we're teaching, how we're teaching it, what standards are, what the tests look like in math, so that they're equipped to know how to help their child at home, so that the student benefits from both the parent and the teacher in helping them with their math skills.
Okay, so back up.
Yeah.
So the district policy is overarching.
Yes.
And then each school has their parent engagement policy that's connected to the district. And then the schools go one more step where they're doing a compact, which is really, in my interpretation, taking that school policy and then getting the parties involved to agree to implement the policy through the compact. Is that how you would? Okay.
Yes, that's a very good summary. And the school parent compact, it gets more into the details of what strategies parents can use at home, as well as what strategies the teachers or the school will provide to the parents. Because it's already assumed that teachers are teaching math in the classroom, but the school parent compact is more about how the school will equip the parents to be able to help their child with math.
So when they meet again with parents, they can bring back the compact and just kind of review it and say, here's how we're doing, here's where we need to adjust. That happens?
Yes, and schools normally use the compact during a parent-teacher conference, either as the introduction or as a follow-up, because a lot of schools would include the school parent compact into their welcome back to school packets,
right,
or their student handbooks.
John, I think we need to pause for a moment and just reemphasize the fact that we mentioned the needs assessment as the basis of virtually everything that's done for students in the school. How important it is that parents are considered key stakeholders when a school is going through this needs assessment, not just bringing the parents in afterwards after the school has reviewed all the data and say, okay, let's build a compact, but really making sure that the parents are there from day one.
Right, so they can be a part of it rather than the district doing the needs assessment or even creating the parent policy and then pulling in the parents and say, here it is.
Yeah.
We're emphasizing more that they're part of it from the beginning, from the get-go, right?
Yes, and the federal law does say that when you're developing the overall needs, to look at the overall needs of your school system, as well as developing the district level parent family engagement policy and the school level parent family engagement policy and the school parent compact. Parents are always supposed to be involved in all of those stages. And the law actually encourages community and business partners as well.
Right.
So that you can get an opinion or a view from different stakeholders in the community.
It all goes back to that word, engagement.
Engagement. Okay. And I also like how you use the word in other times, jointly, that things are developed jointly together. I think that's an important distinction as well.
All right, so I'm going to wrap this one up with one question, because we are the state office. Who approves all this?
So you can say that it's a joint effort, because in the end, because all of these are jointly developed with the school system, the school staff, and the parents. And a lot of times the students are also involved too, because for the older students, they're asked, you know, what do you think the school should provide to you? How is the best way you can learn in class? So all of these partners are supposed to be at the table throughout. And those drafts and revisions are done together. And then the state office, so my team, the Family School Partnership team, we conduct monitorings where we would go visit a school system and look at sample district and parent family engagement policies, as well as a school level one and the school parent compacts. And so we're there to provide support in how to write it and how to write it in a family-friendly language and make it visually nice so that it doesn't look like a manual or a procedures binder, but it's geared towards families and the community. And so we look to see if the language is appropriate, as well as if it should be translated into other languages to include more parents who may not be able to read English, whether it's not their first language or whether they grew up in this country, but their reading skills are not as good as someone who...
So maybe in a future episode, you can give us some ideas of how you help districts and schools maybe that need support, and maybe some that are doing very well. That would be interesting to hear.
All right. Well, Amy, that was another great episode. Thank you for joining us, and we will invite you back, I think, a couple more times to finish up this conversation. But for now, we want to thank you. So from Craig and
John,
thank you, everybody.
Thank you. See you next time.